Blog Talk Radio.
It's due time with Pastor Steph.
Good morning, good morning. Rise and shine. You're on with this due time with Pastor Steph. How are you today? That's what I like to hear. That's what I like to hear. Where were you last week? All week. Well, we started off with our Shaking the Monday Morning Blues, and we had our relationship conversation, things you need to consider when you're dating an older individual. Well, we said you need to start by thinking, are you in the relationship for the right reason? Yes, you know how it goes. Are you trying to impress somebody? Well, you need to ask yourself that question. Well, the next thing you need to ask yourself is, are you in love for the proper reasons? Yes, 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 yes. If you're dating someone older, you might not be as emotionally mature as you think. Well, those are the things that we talked about when it came to dating older in a relationship. And we finished off our Monday with the switch tip, let God have your back. You have to think about all the things that you're doing. Are you doing them for the right reasons? If so, God will definitely have your back. All the things that we do each and every day, all the things that we think about, all the things that we say, is it something that's pleasing to the Lord? I don't know. You got to ask yourself, because if not, God will not even consider having your back. So let's make sure that each and everything that we do, it will be something that God is pleased with. Well, we moseyed on down to Tuesday. Let's talk about a Tuesday, church folk day. And we talked about the pastors who were facing 20 years in prison for the $14 million loan fraud. Yes, they took out all these loans and defaulted, could not pay them back. And now they're facing 20 years, 67 and 62 years old, 82 and 87 years old will be the number that they will be coming out on. Well, we also talked about the nun, over $820,000 she spent in the gambling ring. Yes, at the casinos, these individuals are supposed to be facing, and she's facing up to 6 years in prison. So we have to make sure that we are doing the right thing by the Lord. If not, these are the kind of things that we will be facing. All right. Well, it was Wow Wednesday, and we started off with our girl Vivian and our socially conscious segment. We talked about the unvaccinated dads who are now facing not seeing their children because they're not vaccinated. Well, what about the other unvaccinated individual who is facing not having a heart transplant because they will not give him one because he will not have, he's unvaccinated. Yes. We're going to take a break right now and make sure you go get you go get your healthy breakfast. You tell a friend that you are on with It's Due Time with Pastor Steph, and make sure you don't go anywhere because we'll be right back.
Nationwide Children's Hospital has gone from a very strong regional hospital to a national leader in cancer care. I'm Dr. Randall Olszewski. I'm a pediatric oncologist at Nationwide Children's Hospital. Many families come to us at the time of their diagnosis, and their number one question is why? Why did this happen? We are learning more and more about what causes cancer. The first hurdle is the curable. But it's a rough road for them. Most children and adolescents with cancer are going to survive their disease. We have a cancer survivorship clinic here for children who have survived their cancer and are more than 5 years off therapy. Good survivorship care really is having providers who understand not only the therapy they received, but also the side effects that that therapy can bring down the line. There's a lot of moving parts. Cancer care is complex. It involves a large team of people. It can take time, but we're learning more and more, and everyone is here really to focus on you, not just as a patient, but also as a family.
Good morning, good morning again. Welcome back to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph, and it is Freestyle Friday. Oh, God has been so gracious to us and has allowed us to work our way through the week without any hurt, harm, or danger. And we're giving God thanks this morning for being here together. Well, I want you to get those pens up because we got some information to get, okay? All righty. Come on. We're talking about money this week because it's tax time. And we want to make sure that we get this money and we don't mess up and not spend it the right way. You know, we have to be good stewards over our money, the money that God gives us. Remember, God owns it all, so we can do with it what we want. All right? Come on, get those pens up. Get those pens up. Well, this morning we're talking about the biggest budgeting mistakes we're making. Okay? Well, let's talk about estimating how much money you spend. That can always be a problem because if you are not spending, if you're spending a certain amount of money and you cannot figure out exactly what you're spending, then how can you possibly budget? You know, I've made it a habit. I don't really spend a lot of cash because it seems like when you spend cash, once you break a bill, that bill is gone. So before you know it, it's gone, and you really haven't figured out how much money you've spent. So one of the things that they're suggesting is to track your spending for a month or two before you try to come up with a budget. Write down your bills. Write down everything you're paying. Write down all the things you spend your money on, all the groceries, the daily groceries, not the big, you know, the big shopping that you do, but the bread, the milk, you know, the little things that you have to buy. And when you write those things down for a couple of months, then and only then will you really have an idea as to what you are ultimately spending. Okay? Number two, forgetting to save for the unexpected. That is a consistent problem when you're putting your budget together. And they say that you always have to put away for a rainy day. Come on. I think that's one of the biggest problems that we have as a people, as Christian people. You know, we really don't put away money in a rainy day fund, an emergency fund, and we're spending. Well, tax time, I remember the my tax preparer told me, I didn't really know this person, so, you know, I guess they figured they were giving me some advice. And I remember I got a really hefty return one year, and he suggested that I take and put away 1 month's mortgage, just 1 month's mortgage. Just put it on the side in a separate account and start from there. You know, and if you think about it, you do have it because you really, in your everyday spend, you know, your everyday spending, you don't have it. So take it and start there. So, or if you're rent, you know, if you're paying $800, $900, $1,000 rent, start off with that. And each month, just take and put a couple of dollars away for anything that you may not be, you know, expecting. If you've got a car, if you own a home, then you really know that there are things that consistently come up. Okay? All righty. Number three, you have unrealistic expectations. All right? They say, you know, you might be a little antsy to improve your financial status, but they say that, you know, if you're trying to pay off all your credit cards at the same time, or, you know, your loans, if you're trying to pay off student loans or other personal loans and things like that, but you have not sat down and figured out how much you're bringing home, then yeah, that's kind of unrealistic, because how can you actually, you know, really plan if you don't know how much you have? So this is the whole purpose of putting together a budget. You got to put together like a little pre-budget. You know, what do you really, what can you really accomplish, you know, with anything extra, okay? Even the Bible tells us, you know, or asks us, you know, who plans to build a house without counting up the cost, okay? All righty. Well, the next thing they say is budget based on your gross income. Now, I never thought about this one. I never thought about this one, but that is a good idea. Budget based on your gross, because in a way, it kind of, it will put you ahead. It will put you ahead because it'll, you'll have, and I know it sounds kind of weird. I know it sounds kind of weird, but they say that you really need to create a spending plan based on your gross. You really do, because then you'll, if you count a different way, you'll end up at the end. It seems like you should, you'll have less because you think you'll have less because gross is actually, you know, before they take out the taxes. But, you know, sit down, you know, and work it out on a piece of paper. Only you can really figure this out. And if you don't, come back to Pastor Steph and we'll talk about it. Okay? But it makes sense. It makes sense. When I see it, it makes a lot of sense. Okay? The next one, number five. You know, this is what we've been talking about a couple of times during this week. You know, they say that you really need to consider cheaper alternatives. And we talked about that part of this week. We did talk about that. We talked about, you know, how to lower your expenses. You know, stop leaving those things plugged up. You know, that's one of the things that can definitely take you into a cheaper alternative, is to just make sure that you're not, you know, spending. Remember they said go for the sales? Ah, come on, come on, come on. Okay. Let's see. The next thing, they say spreading yourself too thin. Are you spreading yourself too thin? How much are you actually in debt for versus how much you can actually afford? You know, are you trying to live like the Joneses? That might be something that you need to consider. You know, did you buy that car and you really can't afford it? Or, you know, are you, you know, buying things that are above your head? And now at the end of the month, you don't have what you ultimately need. So, you know, sitting down and working on, you know, not buying things that you really don't need. You know, stay out the store. Stay out the store, okay? Oh, I like this one. They say update your budget. Yeah, that will definitely keep you in the doghouse if you don't update your budget. So in other words, are they taking out more taxes? Or did you get an unexpected expense that now you have to go forward? So in other words, let's say for argument's sake, your boiler broke down. And now, you know, you're paying, you know, you put it on your credit card. And now you're paying, you know, on that. Did you not put that into your budget? You're going to have to add that in. All righty. And the biggest thing they say is trying to keep up with your friends. That's one of the ways your budget will definitely go haywire. So come on, let's go over those things again. You know, the biggest budget mistake, they say estimating how much money you're actually spending. Okay? Forgetting to save for the unexpected things. Having unrealistic expectations. Okay? They say budget based on your gross income. Alrighty? Next, you have to consider cheaper alternatives. Shop cheaper. Go for the sales. Okay? Spreading yourself too thin and not updating your budget. And last but not least, trying to keep up with your friends. All righty? All righty. Ah, let's see. What are we talking about today? All right. So, you know, back in September, we talked about the actor, A.J. Johnson. Remember the one from, Friday? Well, they did an autopsy on regarding his death. And guess what they said? Years of hard drinking. Oh, years of hard drinking killed this actor. Now, there's a whole lot of ways we can really talk about this thing. Whole lot of ways that we can really talk about this. Are we going to say alcoholism? That's a way that we can, you know, say it. But, you know, I thought it was interesting the way they put years of hard drinking. You know, they say that the his life really could have been prolonged if he had taken better care of himself. And they say that when they did the toxicology tests on him, they did not find any additional drugs, which is good. And they did say that one of the other things that showed up was the fact that he did have COVID before he passed away. But the biggest issue was the fact that he just simply drank too much. They say back in 2009, it was reported that he had a heart attack in LaGuardia Airport. Yeah. And he was coming here to do a comedy show. And he reported that he had a panic attack. But they say, you know, secretly, it was, you know, a heart attack. And it really came from his drinking, all of the years that he spent drinking. And his wife has committed her life, you know, the rest of her life, to launching a foundation in his name. And the intent is to really help others who are fighting alcohol abuse and to inspire them to put the bottle down. She has been volunteering to speak at local churches and other youth groups. And she said that's her new mission in life. So, you know, I'm going to be honest. There were some years that they said he spent on drugs. And I honestly thought that they were going to say that it was going to be the drug use that really took him out of here. But in actuality, they said it was the alcohol abuse. So you know what? You know, for those who used to drink and no longer drink and things like that, you know, we have a lot to give God thanks for because, you know, people are really, you know, I remember growing up and people dying of like cirrhosis of the liver. And, you know, that really pretty much came from drinking too much. Yeah, that's what that was. So, you know, it's still going on, in other words. It's still going on. They're not calling it cirrhosis of the liver or anything like that, but they're still, you know, talking about the fact that if you drink too much, it can kill you. Okay? All righty. Well, you know, we've been talking about these teachers going wild. I think that's what I'm going to name this segment, Teachers Going Wild. And they have this story of an Ohio teacher. Oh, excuse me. No, I was right. An Ohio teacher who has now been fired because there is a video out. and they say, thank God for the video. There's a video out that shows this Ohio teacher actually going to a garbage can behind a young lady in school. She ate, or they put some waffles on the plate. They were serving waffles one morning, and this 9-year-old child, I guess she didn't want to eat the waffles. The video shows that she took the waffles and she dumped the tray. And the teacher went into the garbage can, took the waffles out with a tissue, and then brushed it off, took it back to the student, and approached the student about it. Now, the video, of course, doesn't have any audio to it. So they're assuming, you know, what she said. They said it looked like when she placed the waffle down on the table, that she was, it seemed as though she was trying to coerce the student to finish or eat this waffle, because the student never ate the waffle. She never bit into it. And after a while, the child ate the waffle. Now, there's a whole lot of things you can't get kids to do. But this teacher was actually able to get this student to eat this waffle. And the student, of course, went home, told the parents, raising all kinds of, they said, you know, there's smoke in the city. Well, would there be if somebody made your child eat something out the garbage? Now, I'm trying to figure out, you know, if this was on our side of the fence, because I'm going to tell you something. Not only my children, but I don't know a child who is going to go and eat anything out the garbage. Oh, no, you couldn't get them to do that. Well, they say that the principal is also fired. Principal also got a pink slip because the principal knew that it took place and did nothing about it. Yeah. So everybody paying. Everybody paying for the fact that this child went and ate this waffle out the garbage can. Now, like I said, you know, they are really happy because they're really saying that they believe, and I have to believe it, that had that video not been shown, because initially they did not have the video. And you know what that meant. That meant it was that the child's word versus the teacher's word, but thank God that the video was produced quite early. They had some evidence. They had some proof that the teacher had made this child eat this waffle. And they were like, they were making a joke saying that they're sure that the child probably heard, you know, there's people in Africa who don't eat. And because they said it took a minute. But you could tell, I guess, by the body language that they were trying to really force this child to eat it. And the child broke down and ate it. Oh, I'm done. Because, like I said, I'm trying to figure out when would my children ever break down and do something like that. They don't want to eat the certain foods that never hit the garbage can at all, so much less some waffle. All right, so Shanti's brought us Pray for Them yesterday, and her Pray for Them was Bill Cosby, because Bill Cosby, you know, they have a documentary, and Bill Cosby, you know, has really been laid out in his documentary by different people, and some hard truths have come out. Well, your boy from Soul Train. Don Cornelius has been accused of violently sexually assaulting some Playboy bunnies. Now, I'm going to tell you the story, and then I'm going to see if you come up with the same problems I have. So, on TV, they have this, I think it might even be the same documentary, or it's the same TV platform, where they're doing this Playboy's Bunnies thing. And I did see the advertisement for it. And Don Cornelius came up on it as one of the segments where this bunny mother, PJ Mastin, she's alleging that Soul Train creator Don Cornelius sexually assaulted two Playboy bunnies decades ago. And her complaint and her story is this. She claims it's the most horrific story she's ever heard at Playboy. And she said that there were two sisters, and they were pretty young. And one night he showed up to one of the big Playboy parties. He was supposedly like a VIP over there. And he shows up. He chooses these two young ladies. And he gets them in his Rolls Royce, and he takes them to his house, and they say for three straight days, they don't hear from these girls. And her story is, you know, for 3 days, there was silence, and they didn't hear from these girls. And then one of the sisters actually found her way out of the house, and she was able to tell them that the head of security, when she got back there, she ended up calling, and she got the head of security. They went and picked her up, and they said they found both of the girls at that time bloodied, battered, and drugged. Now, I want you to pay attention to what her account is, okay? That for 3 days, these girls were not heard from, because they had left in his Rolls Royce, and nobody could figure out what happened to them. Finally, one of the sisters, you know, she gets away, and she calls, and they go pick them up, and they find them bloodied, battered, and drugged. Okay, they say that in the docuseries, the girls, you know, were not named, but they claim that they had been held in two separate rooms. They were tied up and bound, and wooden objects had been used to sodomize them. And one of the sisters could hear the other sister actually being brutalized. Okay, now let's go with the story. So she says that this PJ Mastin, the bunny mama, because that's what I'm going to call her right now, the bunny mama, nobody talked to the police. Police were not notified about the assault, about the alleged assault, and it was Playboy's policy to handle the matters internally, okay? The two bunnies were warned to keep quiet about their experience with Don Cornelius, and she's saying that the thing that outraged her and that made her so angry was that no charges were filed, and Don Cornelius's privileges as a number one VIP were never suspended. And a week later, she saw him back, you know, in the mansion. And she said that, you know, she really felt sorry about what these young girls went through, and nobody has any idea what they went through. And, you know, during this docuseries, she's crying, and she says, you know, her job was to pick up the pieces. And she says, I had to pick up the pieces of these kids. They were kids. She says she continues to blame herself, and, you know, she has to live with herself, you know, and she has such guilt about, you know, not coming forward, but she knew that the establishment, Playboy, wouldn't allow her to come forward. And she said that, you know, her concern was, you know, who was going to believe me? Nobody's going to believe me. And his son is now responding, and he's saying that, you know, it's an unbelievable story. Unbelievable story about his dad, and she doesn't have any proof that this took place. And, you know, he's angry. He's angry because now she's put his father out there. Well, you know that back in 2012, almost, you know, this is the anniversary we just, you know, crossed over, that he committed suicide by, you know, shooting himself. Now, I'm mad. Here we go. Decades later, telling this story about what happened all these years ago. You didn't say nothing because nobody was going to believe you. And now you feel guilty. You know, now you can't live with yourself because, you know, these were kids. They were just kids. Well, they were kids back then. So, you know, you remember now, she's saying her responsibility was to pick up the pieces. No, your responsibility was not just to pick up the pieces. Your responsibility was to notify the authorities. What do you mean that Playboy would handle it internally? So then what you feeling guilty about that? Because you didn't see what you thought should have been justice? A week later, he was back and kikiing, and I guess picking up two or three other Playboy bunnies, and you quote-unquote couldn't do nothing about it because nobody would believe you. I'm so tired of this lame, sorry excuse. I won't say nothing. No, I didn't say nothing because nobody would believe me. Then nobody would believe you, but at least you would have said something. What good is this later? The man, here's this, what, 2012? 10 years later, the man is dead. You know, we don't know why he committed suicide. And now you're just speaking up because now they have a doctor. Shut up. Shut up about it now. I don't know. Maybe y'all feel differently. 347-285-7777. Oh, by the way, let me tell you this quick joke. Yesterday I was leaving a voicemail, which I never do. And I said, you know, please call me back. My number is 347-285-7. Oh, that's not my phone number. So I just thought I'd give you that little, you know, sidebar joke. But no, yeah, today, call 347-285-7777. Let me know what you think. Let me know what you think. You know, I say shut up. I say shut up. Shut up, shut up, shut up, shut up, shut up. Shut up, shut up, shut up. You know what? If you're feeling guilty, then take it to your grave. Take it up with the Lord. Do something. But telling it now is doing what? And here's the thing. I didn't see in the article that the young ladies was on there and maybe they spoke, you know how they black them out and change the voice or whatever. No, they weren't on there talking. They say that, you know, she didn't mention their name. You know, but, oh, they were kids. They were just kids. That's exactly why you should have opened up your mouth and said something decades ago. The man been dead a decade, and he died in 2012. And your story goes back much further than that. Yeah. Okay, so it's on A&E. A&E is the platform that's showing Secrets of Playboy. And it's a new series. I did see it because I do like to watch A&E. I did see it when it was upcoming. And they didn't, you know, they showed like a couple of people talking, but, you know, they didn't show any particular, you know, storyline or anything like that. They just showed a couple of people, you know, with little sound bites and things like that. But I don't know. What do you think? Do you think she should say nothing because you had not or you have not said anything in all this time and now the man is dead? So how in the world is he going to be able to even refute this or say he's sorry for doing it if he's dead? No, you had no, you know, you had not anticipated he was going to kill himself back in 2012. But, okay, so even 10 years later, so what did you wait till he was cold in the grave for 10 years and now you feel confident enough because they have this this docuseries to speak up? I don't know. I say shut it up. I say shut it up, shut it up, shut it up, shut it up, shut it up. Well, I have one more story. And, you know, this one, I read the caption. I misunderstood the caption. I guess I was reading kind of fast because it wasn't until I opened it up and my mouth just fell open. So there's a Texas man who killed a woman because she slept with another man. So he had been sleeping with this woman, and when he found out that she slept with another man, he killed her. Well, that's not, you know, that's not strange. But it starts off by saying, a Texas man who had been sleeping with his own sister beat her to death with a baseball bat after he found out that she had sex with another man. And my mouth just hung open because somehow or another, I just didn't read the caption properly. So this 32-year-old man in Texas, now his name is Jose Manuel Guzman, 32, allegedly killed his sister in a home that they shared when he found out that she had slept with some other man, and it's supposed to be like a male friend of hers who had visited the night earlier. And they say that some massage instrument he beat her with and a bat, and then tried to mop up the blood in the home and fled when law of enforcement was approaching the house. Now, I don't know how they found out, you know, what was going on inside the home, but they say that, you know, he's here from Guatemala, and he is illegal. He's been here since 3 years old, so, you know, it's not like he just visited here. But he just recently learned that he had a sister in Guatemala. Now, he's been here since he was three. He finds out that he has a sister back in Guatemala. They somehow meet, or they met, I guess, you know, hey, you know, you got a sister, whatever. And they began a sexual relationship. And they say that, you know, he was a drug dealer with some previous criminal charges already, including a 2017 case where he was accused of breaking a man's arm with a baseball bat and smashing the man's windows. And so clearly him and this bat has some sort of relationship, and that's what he's known to do. And, you know, I don't know, y'all. It's like, this is why we need Jesus. This is why we clearly need Jesus. I need to talk to my man. I need to talk to my man. Well, let me say good morning to Pastor KL. Good morning, Pastor KL.
Good morning, Pastor Steph. How are you?
I am okay, thank you. I'm well. How are you this morning?
I'm doing well. You caught me chewing, so that's why I'm a little muffled.
All right. So I'll give you a little opportunity to finish up the bike. But,
I'm good.
You know, we've been going through some really weird news this morning, semi-weird. And, you know, I'm hoping to hear from our listeners as to, you know, what they think, you know, about one of our stories. But I want to start off with the video that shows that, you know, the young girl was in the cafeteria. She didn't, you know, she didn't eat the waffle. The waffle was thrown, and she threw the waffle in the garbage. And, you know, the teacher went in the garbage behind her and, you know, took it out, wiped it off, and put it before her, and somehow or another talked to her long enough to get her to eat this, you know, waffle out the garbage. What are we doing?
I think that's crazy. I mean, I really would like to know what side of the fence that's on, because shooter got beat on outside of the fence. You know, I know that when I was young, I didn't want to eat liver. You know, and my mama would keep me at the table long enough, but after a while, she told me to get up and go to bed. You know, I don't want to eat stuff that's not in the garbage. You know what I'm saying? Let alone stuff that's in the garbage. You know, so, yeah, I think that's totally ridiculous. She should have got beat. You know, forget about being fired. She should have got beat. She should have got beat since she quit.
You know, well, the young lady was on our side of the fence.
Yeah, she should have got beat then.
You know, the young lady was on our side of the fence, and my assumption is that the reason why this has been such an uproar is because the teacher was on the opposite side of the fence.
Right.
And,
right. So Shakita and Shaquana should have came and handled that.
You know, here's my thing. What do you think, you know, could have possibly been said to get this young girl to eat this food? Because I'm telling you, I can't imagine any of these kids out here these days being convinced to eat. I'm not saying she's at fault. That's not my point. My point is I need to know some pointers, because I need to be able to use that on my kids. Maybe I can.
I don't know. I guess, you know, people in Africa, you know, are starving. Here you are having all this luxury food and you're not eating. You know, I mean, I can't imagine what she could have said that could have possibly made her give in to that. I would have said, well, you know what? Send this to Africa. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I don't understand.
I'm just glad. I'm really happy that there was a video, because you know good and well.
Right.
That had there not been any proof, you know, this would have really been a mess for this young girl to come home, you know, especially when the principal had to be fired because the principal did nothing about it.
And that's the biggest thing. I mean, so your superior knows about it and he's covering you up. You know, he's covering up for
you. Yeah.
Yeah. They should have both been gone.
Absolutely. And I'm so glad to hear that they followed it up with the principal, because generally we don't hear that either. You know, somebody got a little slap on the wrist and you know, nobody's really being, you know, held account, being made to you know, face the music for these things that they're doing. And you know, you're forcing these children to go back in school, and the teachers are getting worse. You might as well leave the kids at home.
Right.
I don't know.
Exactly.
I don't understand. You know, you're mandating that they go, they wear the mask and all of this kind of stuff. And every time you turn around, we're hearing about what these teachers are doing to these children. I don't get it.
And then if you want the child to eat waffles, put some chicken with it. You know, chicken and waffles is always a good combination. You know, put something, that, you know, appetizers together.
Well, that's probably what you're over there eating. Is that what you're eating?
Well, I'm eating chicken now. You know I got to eat chicken. I just don't have a waffle.
I figured that chicken has something to do with this chomping in the background, I'm like, you know what?
I'm like Al now. I'm like Al. Be careful how you talk to me now.
You know, I'm like, I think some chicken is over on that end.
Yeah, there's some chicken.
No, but on a serious note, you know, had the parent come up to the school and, you know, been showing off and all of that. You know, now that's a new story, you know, for us to talk
right.
about. You know, that would have been given, you know, something. But, you know, this is a 9-year-old child. And, you know, I do believe, you know, like the writer, you know, the person who wrote the article said, you know, they had to get this children in Africa business going on and guilting
right,
the
right,
child.
Right.
You know, if you're 9 years old, the only thing you can really do is threaten the child or you know, make the child feel guilty. And unfortunately,
mm-hmm.
you know, this is what our children are enduring each and every day. You know, the other day, we were talking about, you know, the things that the teachers go through. When we were talking about the
right.
teacher who had pulled the child's hair. And, you know, I think we've come to the point, Pastor KL, where the ground has been leveled. You know, the playing field has been leveled. You've got the children driving the teachers crazy, and you've got the teachers driving the children crazy.
Right. I mean, but the way I see it, you know, with this whole COVID, you know, you're in school 1 week, you're out of school another week, you got to wear a mask, you got to do a... I mean, it's a lot emotionally and psychologically, you know, for both the teachers and the students. And at some point, you know, you put too much pressure on that pipe, something's going to burst. You know, it's a lot to contend with. I want to teach you, but I can't keep you focused because now I got to keep telling you to put up your mask or, you know, you don't want to put up your mask. It's a lot of stuff going on.
Absolutely. And, you know, and that's what, you know, that's what I'm talking about. You know, I said a long time ago, I wouldn't want to be a police officer because these people are crazy. And then on the flip side of
right.
that, you know, we as people in the communities, we've got issues because the cops are crazy. You know, everywhere you go, we're really losing momentum. And this is really some issue of our lives and how we're choosing to live our lives. Because if you don't, you're going to lose it. You're going to really,
right.
really, really lose it. And, you know, the children are coming under a lot of different levels of pressure. They're also being
mm-hmm.
spoiled at the same time. And, you know, now the teachers are under pressure. They have their own personal problems. And like you said, you know, the pipes are bursting. The pipes are bursting,
right.
and it's making one big mess.
Because, you know, I mean,
right
the teachers are already underworked. I mean, I'm overworked and underpaid. So now you're just
right.
adding more stuff to their plate.
Absolutely. And that's what I mean, you know. They've got their own personal problems. You know, they've got their own personal issues. You know, a lot of mental health. You know, there's a big issue
right.
with this mental health thing, and there's nobody's really, you know, addressing it. You know, everybody's just kind of sweeping it underneath the rug, and the children got mental issues, the adults got mental issues, and this is a chemical combustion going on here. It's really
exactly.
nasty. You know, a combination that's really becoming worse and worse and worse. All right, so let's talk about Mr. Cornelius. But I need you to stop building that house right now. I really need you to stop building that house for me. Please stop building the house for me. Let's talk about this Don Cornelius thing. So now the bunny mama, because I'm calling her that. I'm straight calling her that. Jesus.
Madam.
Yeah, I'm not even giving her that. No. That's too classy. No, madam. No bunny mother. I'm calling her the bunny mama. She gets no respect from me. I'm sorry. None. So bunny mama for Playboy is now, you know, bursting the seams with the story of this, you know, these two young ladies who were Playboy bunnies, and Don Cornelius is supposedly a number one VIP member there. He picks up these girls, takes them in his Rolls Royce up to his house. Nobody hears from them for 3 days, and then later on his third day, I suppose, or the fourth day, you know, somebody, somehow or another, one of the young ladies gets out. She calls. They go pick them up to find them bloodied, bruised, and battered. And, you know, she doesn't say anything because, you know, it's Playboy's, you know, protocol to handle these things on the inside. And, you know, she thought that they would, but when she saw a week later, Mr. Don Cornelius returns and clearly appears as though, you know, he's not suffering any repercussions, or he ain't in jail. She's now upset because all she was supposed to do was clean up the mess. And she did. And these were young girls, they were kids, and she did nothing about it. And she's now feeling guilty, and she feels like she must talk about it now. Come on, I'm calling out again, 347-285-7777. Give us a holler, let us know what's going on in your mind. So what's your thought, Pastor Kale? You know, we've been talking about this thing with R. Kelly, with Bill Cosby, with Harvey Weinstein, or whatever his name is. But now this man is dead. At least those three were alive. This man is dead.
Well,
what's your thought?
I have a couple of thoughts. One, if you feel so bad because these girls were young, but you didn't mind pimping them out. So, I mean, you didn't encourage these girls to get another career, another trade. That's the first of all. You know, you didn't mind doing all that, but now you feel bad of what happened. You know, in this line of work, things could happen. You know, and now the man is dead, stinking in his grave, and now you want to bring all this stuff up because now you're guilty and you're close to the pearly gates and you want to get in. You know, so I just don't understand why all of a sudden now there's an issue. Now, I think the reason why the girls or the women now didn't speak up is because they got paid off. When they said, we'll handle this inside, then they paid them to shut up. I think they have already got theirs, you know, so I don't understand. Maybe she didn't get hers for keeping quiet, but she should have went to the police, as you said. That should have been her first thing. You know, if your integrity is so high, and you feel so bad for the kids, why didn't you go to the police and risk losing your job? Because that's what you were supposed to do.
And that's my feeling exactly. I felt the same way. I was like, okay, so here's my other question. If you know, why didn't you bother to dig the girls up? And again, if you did, you probably couldn't get them to say anything, because I agree with you 100%. They handled it internally. They did what they said they were going to do. They may
that's
not
right.
have handled it the way you thought it would be handled, or maybe even should have been handled. But they did handle it internally. That's why you were restricted from saying anything. But again, like you said, and I agree 100%, you had every ability to speak up then. You had every ability to speak
right.
up. Nobody held you hostage. You know, they said that during the 3 days, these two young ladies were bound for the 3 days. Nobody bound you. All they could do is tell you what the rules are, Pastor KL. They cannot make
right.
you.
If they make
you
stay.
Go with the rules. What'd you say?
I said they can't make you stay.
Right.
You know what I mean?
You know,
if it's against what you feel, your moral, you know, then you walk away.
Right. Right. But clearly the money was good as a bunny mama. You know, clearly the money was good. I'm sorry, Pastor Gail. She's not getting nothing more than that. She's not getting nothing more than that. Funny mama. You know, first of all, I agree with you. Who is a bunny mama? And you got a moral compass. Who's a bunny mama with a moral compass?
Exactly.
How many of these women did you go through? You know, how many, okay, so these were quote-unquote kids. How many other kids did you come across?
Come on.
You really need to fall back and just
They wasn't coming in this line of work at 40.
Right.
Nobody want a 40-year-old bunny.
Absolutely. And that's why I'm saying, how many other kids did you come across? When you, if you're classifying this as kids, what were they, 12? Because think about it.
In
order to be a Playboy bunny, you need to have a certain body. You need to be, you know, you have to have a certain look. They have never claimed that the Playboy bunnies were young, you know, like children, like 12, 13.
That's
a claim that they have never made against, what's his name, Hugh Hefner or whatever, whoever ran this Playboy place.
Hugh Hefner.
They never claimed that he had underage people there. I never heard that claim in all these years. So when you say kids and you're feeling so bad about these kids, then my thought is they must have really been kids. Because nobody else seems to bother you.
Right.
You know, nobody else seemed to bother you. I mean, I don't know. Maybe this is just my crazy thought. Maybe this is, you know, this is just me. You know, this is just my crazy thought. But, again, my thing is, you know what? You stay quiet all this long, you know, or were they paying her? Now, I feel like Pastor Charlotte. Were they paying her? Did they say they would pay her forever and ever, amen, to keep her mouth closed, and then all of a sudden they stopped paying her?
Right.
Now she's mad. Stop laughing, Pastor King. And she's mad now. Because, you know,
And then the other thing is, did they fire her because she no longer looked as good as a bunny? You know what I mean? You got to be attractive, too, even as the mama.
Yeah, of course. Because, see, okay, so listen. Probably you were a Playboy bunny, and now, you know, and then you moved up to being the mama. And then now...
You wasn't getting no customers. You wasn't making no money.
Right. So then, you know, you said, well, I could do this. And they let you do that.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, you've probably been on the, you know, the roster for a while. And maybe now, like you said, you know, again, there's no pay. So now it's time to talk. But definitely,
if you could not
go find these young ladies and get them to speak up, then it really needed to be something you took to your grave. It really did. Because this is just something silly. And, you know.
And you don't even know what kind of lives they have now. What kind of lives the ladies have now. That you want to open up this can of worms in their defense. They may be over it. Or they maybe have husbands and children. So why would you want to stir that up?
And you're absolutely right. Because you know what my other thought was? You know as well as I know when they do these different reports, they always say, you know, we tried to get in touch with so-and-so, but they were, you know, they didn't respond. They weren't so you know good and well that they probably actually got to, that probably actually, that sounds dumb, that they probably did reach out to the young ladies, and the young ladies didn't respond. Because Shantice and I were talking last night about this this Bill Cosby thing, and one of the things that she brought up was just what you said. You know, one of the husbands, you know, he did ask at one point, you know, well, what were you doing in the man's house? You know, so now this stirred up something between husband and wife that had happened, you know, over a decade ago. And now you've opened up this big can of business that's a big you know, meth. And, you know, what's going on? What's going on? Now, like you said, I don't want to have this. If I didn't even tell my husband that this happened, now you open up your mouth.
You might not even know that she used to be a bunny. That could be in her former life.
That's what I'm saying. You know, he may not even know anything.
You're a rabbit now.
About this. he may not know. You might be right. He may not know. And that was my thought. You know, may not know. He may not know anything. And now
right.
You have this issue of, you know, him now knowing and now opening up, you know, to this thing here. And now I got to deal with all of this stuff emotionally all over again. No, I don't think so. Let's see if our brother Al is ready here.
All right.
Good morning, brother Al.
Good morning, Pastor. That's Jeremiah 29:11. To God, therefore, I know the plans I have for you. So let them do what they do. Oh, yeah. Good morning.
You know what, brother Al?
I keep on reading that, and I can't see where it says let them do what they do.
Well, stop, Pastor Cam, because that's what I was going to say. I was going to say, Brother Al, you can't keep saying, so let him do what he do, because people might think that that's part of the Bible verse.
Well, that's the Brother Al version, okay? You mind your manners, so let me do what I do. That's the Brother Al version. Thank you very much.
Well, you know, okay, so you got to make sure that you put a period or something in there so that the people who, you know, are listening to you every morning quote this Bible verse, they don't think that the Bible verse says, well, let him do what he do. All right? Deal?
Okay, so I'll say, I know the plans I have for you, period. So let him do what he do.
Oh, my goodness gracious. All righty, Brother Al. All right. Okay. So, we're talking about the Don Cornelius thing before we get into our topic. You know, what do you think? You've been listening to the story.
Oh, man, that's absolutely crazy. I think now it's about money because, okay, you didn't went on and let this happen and you never said nothing. So you should go down for two because you withhold evidence. And I mean, well, not evidence, but you withhold valuable information. It wasn't reported. And now Don Cornelius is gone. He can't defend himself. So it's basically just your word. I actually think he's coming back trying to do this for money.
You know, I kind of agree with that. You know, when I look at the first 48 and they go and they grab these people and, you know, all of a sudden, you know, they're starting to tell their story. And I'm like, how come they're not arrested? Because all this time, they knew, and they knew, and they said nothing. And I guess they didn't arrest them, Brother Al, because their concern is if we arrest them for telling the story, then we won't get anybody to tell the story. You follow what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, definitely, definitely. And I also think that, you know, they look at publicity. Oh, man, if this go down, we're going to get that negative press that we don't want. Because when people hear Playboy, they Playboy or Playboy's Bunny, they think it's something totally different. Now you're hearing the scandal and this going on. They didn't want that negative attention as well.
Probably. Of course they don't want the negative attention. You know, and that's one of the big issues that they've been talking about since this whole Bill Cosby, R. Kelly, Harvey Weinstein, and all of these stories have been coming out. They're like, well, this individual or these people have been left untouched. You know, all the stuff that, you know, these men have been accused of doing, they've gone to jail for, then, you know, he hasn't been touched. All the stuff that's gone on up in the bunny house, nobody's ever been held accountable for any of that stuff. So it's like, well, why bother these men if you never bothered him? I don't know. Harvey Weinstein, I guess, was supposed to be the one that was on the other side of the fence, Brother Al.
Yeah, exactly. So, You know, there's something behind it. Don't believe me. She ain't just coming all these years later for nothing. There's something behind it. Is she hoping somebody hear it and she can get a book deal? Because, you know, people love to, unfortunately, people love to hear drama and nonsense. And that's what's selling these days. So I think she, you know, her pockets are a little thin and she's trying to fatten them up.
Yep, you never know, you never know, you never know. Well, gentlemen, thank you for joining me this morning. And what I decided to do was, you know, in light of the stories that we're talking about today, I wanted to continue. I said, you know, the ladies, how to share your faith at work that I spoke to the ladies about, you know, I want to continue that with you. I want to get a male perspective. You know, they did a really fine job the other day. But, you know, with all that's going on, you know, it behooves us as men, you know, and I say us like that, you know, I don't want to say you, but it behooves us as men to also share your faith on the job, you know, not just ladies. And, you know, I would love to see, you know, what you think about, you know, the points that they bring up, you know, because you're talking about, you know, the A.J. Johnson who drank himself to, you know, death, pretty much is what they're saying. You're talking about the guy who, you know, sleeps with his sister and now he kills her because she slept with somebody else. You're talking about, you know, this Don Cornelius issue or alleged issue. So either he did it and that's something that somebody knew about but didn't talk about, because that was R. Kelly's biggest issue, you know, where they're saying all these people were around him, but they just kept saying yes. You know, who's holding who accountable? How are you sharing your faith with these people? Who, you know, who did the Playboy mama, you know, the bunny mama talk to, and nobody gave her any advice? Or, you know, they knew that she was doing this, but they, you know, stayed to themselves and didn't say anything. It really behooves us. You know, we talk about it in a fashion of being a coworker. But it's anybody. But I want to stick to it on a job, but I would say anybody because of what we're talking about. And I really think, you know, hearing these stories really should encourage us to really, you know, do a lot more talking at jobs or on the job, because we really don't know what people need. So let's start this ball rolling. They're saying that you should form, you know, a prayer partnership with a coworker, and, you know, on a regular basis, you know, you grab one another and you go into prayer. What do you think about that, Pastor KL?
I think while that's a good idea, it can be dangerous depending on where you work, because that's not always welcome company-wise, you know, but I think that if you have a good relationship with your workers and you have a good bond with your workers, you know, and two are agreeing, then that could be a great thing. But you have to be very, very, very careful how you introduce that.
Okay. Brother Al, what say you?
I honestly think it's a good idea. I think I agree with Pastor Kale and some of it. You do have to see who's on that same page, because some people might not believe in prayer. So it's a thing of saying, okay, who believes in this? Who would want to do this? Not, okay, you've got to do it. And I say it's a good idea because the simple fact is that even from me here working at the school, there's people here that has different religions, and they take their religion serious. They don't care what's going on, what time. If we got a person here that's Muslim and they pray at 12 o'clock, they make room to have this person go pray. So I think sometimes us as Christians, we start watering down our stuff. Well, okay, we got to see if it's okay. We got, no, I'm going to pray. If nobody want to pray with me, I'm going to pray by myself. Because I sit there and I watch that and I'm like, wow. You know, so I do think it's a good idea to come together. And maybe as you two praying, the group may grow. Because I do that at my job. You know, I got some people there and we come and we pray, because dealing with these kids is something else. You know, so we come and pray and ask God to guide us to say it, do the right thing. And, you know, so I think it's a good thing.
Okay. You know, I want to interject something here. And you know what? My mind never fails me. you know, not good, bad, right, wrong, and different. We're just, again, you know, we're just getting a male perspective. You know, when the women were given this, they were all over it. They were all over it. You know, it wasn't be careful. It wasn't this. Because you think about it. Here's my thing. You have lunchtime. Lunchtime is your time. As an HR manager, I can tell you, they can't tell you what to do on your lunchtime. Even if you leave the building, step outside, go in the bathroom. You know, of course you can't. You know, they don't want you doing it at the desk. But it's an interesting dynamic as to when you present it to the ladies, they were all over it. They were like, okay, yeah, seize this opportunity. You do this, you do that. They instantaneously, you know, of course we all know, you know, you can't stand out in front of the president, you know, or the CEO, or, you know, of his office. But they instantaneously went into, you know, that mode of, you know, hey, you know, okay, yeah, this is what we need to do, so let's find a way to do it. So I thought it was really, it's really an interesting dynamic. And that's why I said, you know what, I want to change this up a little bit. I don't want to hold it for the ladies. I want to see what the men are thinking. And it actually revealed something. So that was really interesting. All right, so we, you know, we have the next suggestion. They say, as, you know, your relationship deepens with Christ, you know, you find these other non-Christian people, and you now share your time outside of work. So if you're gathering with other people from the from church, or, you know, or if you're going to maybe a Christian event, they're saying you should, you know, bring it to them. Bring it, you know, invite them. What do you think, Brother Al?
I think that's good. You know, even like I said, here when I get to talk in the summer, and some way I get it in there and talk, and it's like, oh, you do this and that, this church. I'm like, yeah, you know, one day you should come by. You know, if you have time, you're not busy, come on by and worship with us. So I don't see nothing wrong with putting it in there. I mean, once we become, you know, God's people, well, I mean, we all God's people, but once we get into the ministry, that's our job, to invite people to Christ, try to save some souls. So, yeah, I agree with that.
Okay. Pastor KL, you know, they're saying, you know, invite them to outside events, you know, your non-Christian coworkers. What do you think about that?
I think that's a great idea. All of my veteran workers, and when I say veteran, just the people that's been here the longest, they have all been to my church at one time or another. They have all been there. They have all listened to the sermons. If I have revivals, and they all coming. So, yeah, I think that's a great idea.
All right. So they say that, you know, it's good to, I want to make sure, because Pastor Kale just stepped into my next thing. I was trying to figure out how I could redo that one. But let me take you back. No, yeah, because they actually made a distinction between inviting them to events and inviting them to church. And I was going to put a little spin on it, and then I was like, you know, I don't think I want to do that. But they say that, you know, ask questions. You know, talk to them, ask questions, you know, truly listen to them and treat, you know, show them that there's a spirit of godly care about their life. What do you think about that, Brother Al?
I think that's a good idea, because, again, then what you're doing is sharing your testimony, you know, and letting them know, hey, listen, you know, God is real. You know, look what I've been through, and this is what he has done for me, and he's still doing it. You know, even though I don't deserve it, he's still doing it. So I believe so. Yeah, I think that's a good thing.
Okay. You know, let me ask you something, Brother Al. You know, they say, you know, go into conversation, you know, with the people at your job, ask them sincere questions, truly listen, you know, to what they have going on and show them that there's a spirit of godly care. How do you get that done? What are some of the things you talk about? What are some of the things you say?
Yeah, I you know, I always give a lot of good stuff. Lately, the biggest thing I've been given is my story about me going back to college that I never thought would happen, you know, and I tell them, hey, look, this is what I went through, but I hung in there, and, you know, and God blessed me to get back to school and get my degree to get me from one job that was paying this amount to this job that's paying a whole lot of amount, you know, so just tell them, you know, because sometimes, especially when you talk to people, they're like you know, when we all do it. We pray to God. We want it done now. And I tell them, I said, look at me. This is 30 years later we're talking about. You know, 30 years later, God still had his hand on me and said, okay, you know what? He's ready. Let's get this going.
Okay. Pastor KL, you know, in the vein of what they're saying, you know, converse, you know, with your coworkers and, you know, ask them questions, you know, truly listen to them and let them know that there's really a sincere, godly care that resides inside of you. How do you get that done, you know, at work?
Well, for me, it's kind of different. I have a job full of, I say, misfits and the underdogs. You know, I hire people that other people won't hire, you know, so they come in and they're appreciative of that, but they have stories, they have issues, you know, and a lot of times they may come to me or go in outbursts because of the heaviness, and I just let them know that, you know, whatever you're dealing with, God can work that out, you know. Have you tried Jesus? Do you know God? And then we go into conversations like that, and, you know, and every now and then they'll come to me and say, hey, Mr. KL, I read something, but can you tell me what this means? And that when people see that you are really concerned about their well-being, about their spiritual life, then they'll come and open up to you and they'll want to learn more. They'll gravitate to you because they know that you're really concerned about them and not just getting them to do the job.
Absolutely. And that's really, you know, what the point is that they're trying to make. Like you said, you know, really show them that there's a level of godly care, not just this thing of, you know, we're just on the job together. Really? Okay. Very interesting. You sound like my church. You sound like your church. What about praying before you leave home in order to be prepared for your coworkers when you get to work, Brother Al?
It's a beautiful thing. I do it every single day. Before I step out that house, I'm in prayer, you know, asking God to guide me and say and do the right things and, you know, let me be able to let his light shine through me to other people. And I make sure I do that every day, you know, and like you said, it's a thing of preparation, being prepared. You know, and it's working, you know, it's definitely working. So, you know, again, when we see something working, like Pastor Kale said with his workers, when you see something working, you more into it now. Okay, I got to make sure I continue to do this because it's actually working. I'm actually seeing it work. So, yes, that's a beautiful thing.
Okay. Pastor KL, pray before you even leave the house, you know, so that you can be prepared to be a blessing to your coworkers.
Well, I think that's a great idea. However, I come to my job every day at 5 o'clock in the morning. We don't open up to 8 o'clock. And I pray that God will saturate the building, you know, with his presence. You know, my job is in the ghetto, and some of my workers are ghetto-ish. So sometimes, you know, I got to pray that they don't snap or they don't go off or that there just be a calm spirit in the air. You know, sometimes you have to come in or wherever you're going and ask God to meet you there. You know, saturate your love, saturate your presence, you know, so nothing won't flare up. No one won't get shot. No one won't get stabbed. There won't be no issues, no incidents, but it begins with you.
Okay. All right. They say that don't downplay the importance of your faith. You know, we Pastor Charlene, I had her do the faith over fear on that one. You know, make sure you step up and you show your employees your faith level. What do you say, Brother Al? How important is that?
Oh, that's very important. You know, I on my other job, you know, there's when I used to work in the kitchen, there was some, you know, in the kitchen there was a lot of, you know, the ladies of Italian, and they have the Catholic faith, you know, and I would go into the cafeteria where we had lunch, and I always would bow my head and pray. And one of the ladies, she asked me, she said, Al, I see when you're there, you put your head down for a minute. Come on, what are you doing? I said, I'm thanking God for this food that I'm about to receive. And she's like, oh, wow. She said, okay. And it was so crazy because then after that, everybody else started doing it, you know, as I'm doing it. Because sometimes I see people, I have seen people, and including myself, you know, back when I was growing in this ministry, you know, at home, oh, yeah, I pray before the food. But then when I get to a restaurant or something like that, I'll just eat and don't pray. So that's downplaying what you believe in. And so as I grew in this ministry, I don't care where I'm at. Before I get ready to eat, I'm going to thank God for this food. And if, you know, even when I'm at my cousin's house and they got a barbecue going on and they get ready to eat, I grab a microphone, whatever, like, hold up, let's bless the food before we eat. So, yeah, that's very important not to downplay what you believe in.
Okay, all right. Pastor KL, you know, how important is it that you don't downplay your faith at the workplace?
I mean, it's very, very important. You know, just as Al said, you know, we forever play a game called follow the leader. You know what I mean? And depending on how you lead is depending on how people are going to follow you. You know, if you come in every day with the faith that God is going to get you through, that it's going to be a good day, that everything is going to work out, then that energy, you know, has to be matched by your people. You know, people match energy. So if you come down disheartened and down and, Lord, I don't know how I'm going to make this, then your people start working like, Lord, I don't know how I'm going to make it. But if you have that faith and you know that it's going to get done, then everybody's already on the same team and on the same page, and it works out. And then they take that home with them. You know, it starts at the job, but then they take it home with them. You know, they say, hey, look, I see what happened to Pastor KL. I see how Pastor KL do. Let me try this at home. And then their whole life changes. Their whole family begins to change. Because, again, when you play follow the leader, the children now is following the leader. So you have the energy, they have the energy.
All right. Men are coming off strong here today. Coming on strong today. Okay, so we're getting to actions speak louder than words. You know, you're not just going to talk about it. We've talked about, a lot of what we say and things like that. But, you know, they're talking about those charitable deeds. You know, how important is that, Brother Al, just doing something charitable for someone to let them know of God's existence in your life?
Oh yeah, that's a great thing. Yeah, you know, you showing people, hey, listen, you know, God has blessed me with some things, so you know what, I'm gonna help you out. Because you do have a lot of people say, oh, I'm gonna do this for you, or I'm gonna help you with this, and then when it comes down to it, they're nowhere to be found. You know, so it's like, okay, you telling me God did this for you, and you're gonna do this, and you know, that's why when somebody asks me to pray for them. Which, you know, I always been flattered about that wow, you know, somebody sees something in me where you feel I can, you know, pray for you. And when somebody asks me that, I do it right then and there. Because we'll say, all right, listen, I got you, and we'll get busy doing something and whatever. And next thing you know, you didn't forget it. You didn't do it on purpose, but you forgot it. And you know, when you help somebody, well, I'm speaking for me, when you help somebody, you do a charitable thing, I feel so good when I do that. And it drives me to want to do more. You know, like I was doing this thing, giving out coats to the kids. I was giving out toys to the kids. It just felt good. And then people seeing you doing it, it's like, wow, you know, this person kept his word. I see God moving with him. You know, let me try that out. You know, even before COVID, I said, you know, Feed the Homeless for Thanksgiving. And I started inviting people, you know, and people's like, wow, that's, I said, yeah, come on down. We always got room. And a couple of people I know, non-Christian, they did come down. And after that, they felt so good. I was like, how do you feel? They're like, oh, my God, that was amazing. That was amazing. What is the next thing we're doing? Okay, we're doing a cold job. We're doing this. Now they're coming in and they're seeing it. So it's very important.
Okay, okay. Sounds great. Pastor KL, you know, what are we saying to our listeners, you know, about just being charitable, doing charitable deeds?
Yeah, I think that's very, very important. First of all, it shows that, you know, you're not unapproachable. You know, I have a young lady who just moved into her apartment, as well as a house, with her children, and she knows I decorate. So she asked me to come and look at the house. Now I got an appointment for tomorrow to go and decorate her whole house. You know, and then don't expect nothing in return. Sometimes a simple thank you, you know, it's a great thing. Just knowing that you're getting them on the right track. You know, this is her first apartment. She has three kids, and she's excited about it. You know, and sometimes when you show, you know, that you're just as excited for them, you know, it ain't about you. And sometimes it can't always be about you. You got to be able to give. You know, saying once you give, God is gonna bless you. Just give, and everything is gonna be all right.
All right, all right. You know, I want to thank you, gentlemen, for, you know, contributing to and adding, you know, wings and tentacles to our, you know, thoughts of sharing our faith on the job. You know, you brought up some different things than the ladies did. And so now, you know, we've got a full spectrum of how to get this done. And, you know, it's a wonderful thing for us to just get into that workplace and share our faith. I want to go, you know, I want to close with, you know, all of our stories today. You know, we had the story of Don Cornelius, and that has a couple of areas you can tap into. You have the story of the teacher who forced the child to eat out of the garbage, and the other part of it, of the principal who did nothing about it, even after knowing what was going on. And then you actually got this, I don't want to touch that one, but I think I left you with enough. You know, grab what you'd like, and imagine talking. You know, I always, you know, say, you know, speak to them. Speak to them. Don't say I would say. Speak to them, because somebody is going to listen that's having an issue, and you need to share your faith with that person. So you grab whoever you want to grab out of those two stories, Brother Al. And who are you talking to today?
Okay, yeah, I heard all the stories, so... I think because I work in the school, I think I want to reach out to the teachers and the principal. You know, don't be afraid. That's one of the things I want to say. Don't be afraid to do the right thing. You know, as educators, we go through so much. You know, a lot of people talk, they hear the surface, and they don't realize what we go through as educators in this school. We can't do nothing. We can't say nothing, but one of the things I do is I'm going to go by the book. I'm going to not be afraid. If I see something wrong, I'm going to say, brother's a fellow teacher, I see you doing something wrong, I'm telling. You know what I'm saying? So don't be afraid to tell the truth, to let know what's going on. Number one, your conscience will feel better. I'm quite sure the principal was just scared, like, wow, I get this. This attention is gonna come to me. This is gonna happen to the school. The school gonna get bad ratings because the school gets ratings, and the principal is so much on this rating for the school. So you know what? Forget all that. This woman did this to this child. I'm going to tell somebody. I'm going to write it out, and your conscience feel clean, and then let the chips fall where they may. You know, but you gotta be honest and straight. You know, you have to.
Okay. Thank you. Pastor KL, who are you sharing your faith with today? Who are you speaking to?
I'm speaking to the rabbit today. And I want to say there's a saying in the world that we say, you know, see something, say something, you know, and sometimes, you know, you have to not think about what's going to happen to you, you know, saying for the betterment of somebody else. You know, you can't get caught up in what if I lose, because in saying something, you really gain because you've helped somebody else. You know, you've got to believe that God is going to cover you. When you do right, right will come by you. You understand what I'm saying? So we can't hide it and be about it, you know, because we haven't repented, or now we're trying to repent. You know, at that point, you need to be able to say something. God, this is what I saw. You know, now let me go to the authority. And I know wherever the chips fall, you got my back. And you have to believe that God has your back. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll be with you even until the end. He said that I'll supply all your needs according to your riches. So therefore, you can say the truth. You can speak out the truth. And God is going to take care of you. He's going to stand by you if you just be honest.
Amen. Thank you, gentlemen, for, you know, speaking to our listeners. We don't know who we blessed today, you know, in sharing our faith. And we pray that you have a blessed day today. Enjoy your day.
Likewise.
Thank you. Okay. We've come to the point in our morning where we're going to hold hands and whole hearts. You know, there's a lot to a lot to go to the Lord for. You know, there's a lot of things going on. You know, we talk about this stuff every single day, you know, and certain things, you know, before we know it, we're ministering and we're witnessing. And, you know, a lot of times, you know, I've had people say to me, I'm not prepared. I didn't know what to say. And you know, that's what prayer is about. So, you know, let's go before the Lord and let's cover even that in our prayer today. Heavenly Father, oh God, we thank you. Thank you, God, for just breathing the breath of life into our bodies, God, just letting us hear from you today on this side of the grave. We thank you, God, for waking us up in our right frame of mind. And we're just grateful, God, that you tapped us on the shoulder this morning, giving us another opportunity to get it right. You know, God, we are often approached, and some of us don't know what to say. And, Lord, I'm asking you to just touch upon everyone's intellect, understanding, knowledge, and help them to take in everything that they've read, that it would just marinate and resonate from them, God, that people would understand that, you know, we're people are being drawn to us. Those of us who have been called to minister, you've called on us. That's not something that we should make light of. That if someone, Brother Al said, you know, he's flattered when someone says, you know, can you pray for me? And that's because, God, we're always ahead of somebody as well as behind someone. We're always in the middle. And no matter where we are, we pray to Heavenly Father that we keep the confidence that we can be used. That no matter, even if we have a level of weakness or an area that we're working on, you can still choose to use us, God. And we're giving you thanks that you have chosen each of us here today, dear God. And for our listeners, dear God, let them take a page out of this book, that we had no idea that you would tap on any of us, any of this Due Time crew. None of us had a job in radio before. You know, we may have gotten behind a pulpit, or, you know, we may have been called to speak here or there, but to be continual ministers on a broadcast. So we have to take everything that we're learning that we get from you, God. So we pray that this would be a lesson, so that we would be also ready for the opportunities that you give us to not only encourage someone else, but to encourage ourselves. How many times do we speak and we have to stop and say, ooh, I was just talking to myself. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for giving us that opportunity to speak to ourselves. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Father, for knowing what we need even before we need it, even before we know we need it, that your preparation is ongoing, that our conversation today, this morning, in between the hours of 7 and 9 or 6 and 8, that there's something coming down the pipeline. And we need every bit of this conversation, God. We say thank you for loving us, choosing us to be used, God. Lord, we're lifting up all of the individuals in these stories, God. You know, the wife of A.J. Johnson, God, who's now out here, you know, pounding the concrete, trying to reach young people and help them to migrate away from the alcoholism, any drug usage. And, Lord, you know, maybe she's trying to now do something that she could have done a long time ago. But, Lord, let her walk in the confidence of it now, that she's not beating herself up, that she's allowing you to use her right here and right now. You know, I lift up the women, if the story is true, the two women, God, that did suffer at the hands of Don Cornelius, possibly. And, Lord, if they're still living, I pray, Lord, that they're living in a world of peace, that they're living in comfort and rest, that they have found a life in you that have allowed them to put this behind them. And they don't have to address it necessarily, because that's not everybody's journey. Everybody doesn't have to handle everything in the same manner. But that wherever they may be, or if this story is not true, but there's someone else out there who has lived something similar to this or this story, we pray to Heavenly Father that you just wash them, God. Change their life. Let them feel the presence of you, God. Let them feel what it is to give their lives over to you, so that you can erase every nasty stain that someone has given us. We thank you, oh God, that you exist in our life so that we can have an opportunity to erase the things that have shamed us, harmed us. And Lord, we're asking for even the people that stand in this bunny mother's shoes, that she would understand what her real responsibility is, and that she would wake up right now, and ask, what have I done? What am I doing? That something that they heard yesterday, the week before, last year, would speak to them right now. And instead of helping to, you know, help other women live and other men live in a certain manner, that they would understand that they are here to minister for you, that they're here to save lives, not help to destroy lives, that they would realize what it is that they're doing right now, God. They don't have to waste another minute in that lifestyle. And, Lord, we're just asking you for all of the people who are leaning toward dependency of a narcotic, alcohol, promiscuity, gambling, or anything, dear God, that is unhealthy or that is unlike you. Again, God, we ask that you just wash them from the crown of their head to the sole of their feet, God, helping them to understand that they were fearfully and wonderfully made, that you have a plan for their life. Thank you, Father, for introducing yourself to us so that we can introduce you to someone else. And we pray, God, that you continue to use us each and every opportunity you get, and that we would continue to stand and be ready to be used, that we're ready to be called on so that we can be used. And we're trusting you each and every day with all the testimonies that have gone out on this broadcast from the crew, that someone would learn. Someone would learn that their life can be changed as long as they give it to you. We thank you, God, for the very breath you have given us. And we pray, God, that we make it our business to just tell of your goodness each and every opportunity we get. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. What a week. What a week, you know. We're coming off a week of break. Not for a good reason. But we're back. And I thank God for helping, you know, the crew to help get my momentum back, you know, still feeling, you know, off my game, still feeling a little empty in certain areas, a little foggy in others. But I thank each and every one of you for, you know, helping me to get back to where I need to be. And before we go any further, I want to take care of something that we were not able to take care of a couple of weeks ago. And let me just say good morning again to Brother Al. Good morning, Brother Al.
Oh, yeah. Good morning. Good morning.
I believe you have something.
Oh, yeah. We don't want them to think we forgot about them. We had to take a pause for a quick second. And we wanted to come back. And like I always say, I can't sing, but I can rap. So we want to give this birthday celebration to the one and only Auntie Pam. Even though it passed, we want to say happy birthday. God bless you. So it goes a little something like this. One, two, three. Here we go. The word on the streets is you're a loyal fan. Happy birthday to you, Auntie Pam. I heard you listen all the time, 5 days a week. Tune in and on time, never missing a beat. May God continue to bless you to see many more. You have God in your life, so you're rich, not poor. So please stay strong and heed the words that I say. And don't forget to pray each and every day. So keep your head up and stay strong, my queen. The Duke of Queen love you. You know what I mean? So once again, happy birthday to you. Straight from Pastor Steph in the D-Time crew. Happy birthday, Auntie Pam. Happy belated birthday. May God continue to bless you. We love you. Thanks for listening. Keep listening. Oh, yeah.
Thank you. Clapping, clapping, clapping. Clapping. Oh, Brother Al, thank you. Thank you so very much. You know, again, you know, Mom left us the night before and, you know, didn't return. but wanted to let you know that that was planned for you. And we love you. You know, you keep us going. You know, if you all don't log in or call in to listen, then we, you know, yeah, we don't mind talking to ourselves, but we don't want to. We don't want to talk to ourselves. So want to just take this time to, you know, say thank you so much, like Brother Al said, for being that loyal listener. And you and Auntie Brenda have been up nice and early this week. You know, almost one of the first ones, a few days, the first ones to be on before we even, you know, get on to say good morning and before the theme song even starts playing. You know, so, you know, we want to let you know how valuable you all are to us. Again, you know, we could not do anything if it weren't for you. It wouldn't mean as much. You know, if we were just ministering to one another, and we can't thank you enough, and we love you. Thank you so much, and we pray that you receive our belated birthday shout-out to you. And, you know, having lost a life, you know, it's even more valuable to us to, you know, gain that life, you know, have that life each and every day we're on to know that, you know, we're appreciated. You know, you log on, you all log on to listen to us each and every day because you feel we've got something to say. You feel like we're delivering something from the Lord to you. And if you continue to come back, that must be saying something. So I want to remind you that we're back on it, God spares Sunday at 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time with our Word Prayer Project. And, you know, we don't know what God is going to have as the theme on Sunday, but we'll be bright-eyed and bushy-tailed ready. So make sure you tell a friend. And remember, you know, if you want to go back and even pray with us, it is still on live, on demand. So, you know, go back and listen. We do have people listening. Again, over 100 listens to some prayers. So come on, come on, come on. Come on in the room. Come Sunday at 9 or 8, whichever is your standard listening time. God spares our life. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through your day, be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. They will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. It's Pastor Steph signing off, and I want to thank my gentlemen today, my Due Time crew, for coming through big time for us and helping sending us off into a wonderful weekend. I want to thank you for listening and hanging out with us all week, and we pray that you will not only be a hearer but a doer of God's word. Please accept Jesus as your personal Savior right now, because later is not promised to us. Until Sunday, God spares. I love you. We'll be right back.